Welcome to Superheroes in Heels, the podcast where powerful women rise, lead, and own the room. I'm Kimberly Borgens, your host, fellow trailblazer, and unapologetic advocate for women in the world of business. With over 30 years of experience building success in a male-dominant industry, I'm here to empower you to do the same. Each week, you'll hear bold conversations with inspiring guests who embody strength, resilience, a little dash of sass, and a little bit of grace. Together, we'll challenge the status quo, break through barriers, unlock your confidence, and unleash your inner superhero. You ready? Let's go. Hello, welcome to Superheroes in Heels, where we fiercely empower women in male-dominated industries to step up, own their role, and be successful in their business. I'm your host, Kimberly Borgens, and I'm so glad that you're here joining me today. Okay, superheroes in heels. Why do we have superheroes in heels? Because I think every woman who goes out the door and takes on a job while running a family, being in a marriage, no matter what, you're a superhero. I know so many people who are moms staying at home that are superheroes. They are doing the things that are necessary to take care of their family in this day and age with so many changes, so many school options, so much chaos around them. And any woman out there who's making it happen, whether they're staying at home, whether they're working in a job, whether they're working in their own business, you are my superheroes. So welcome to celebrating you today when we talk about today's message. Today's message, I really wanted to get out and talk about it and share my experiences that I recently had. And so today we're going to talk about when making decisions, when it's important to make decisions as a female CEO in your business, the female CEO of your home, right? The female CEO of your position. Look, if you're working a job and you're not the CEO of the corporation, of the business, the sole proprietor business that you have, whichever that is, if you are an employee for somebody else, own your role as if you were the CEO of that role. Because when you own your role, and look, I get it. I just want to put in here for a quick moment. I get it. Not every company is respectful or cares about you the way that you want them to care about you. I totally, completely, and utterly respect that that is not happening out in the world. Okay. But if you own your role and you treated it as if you were the very best employee, and if your company doesn't see it, then find a new job someplace else. But more importantly, is own your space. Stand up for what is right for you and your job, and stand up for what's right for you and your position. Just like an entrepreneur needs to stand up for what's right for their company and stand up right for their role as the owner and CEO of their business. And the other thing I want to say is there's probably a lot of like Gen Zs, millennials, we Gen Xs, we don't have a problem with that, but that are really, they don't want to be CEOs. I've heard this so many times. I don't want to be the CEO. I don't want to have employees. Okay, great. Don't have employees. And you don't have to call yourself the CEO, but you have to call yourself the owner. You have to take the lead as the leader in your business. So if you hear the word CEO and you kind of cringe, my request is that you just look past the title and design your own title. For me, I know when I first started out in my business consulting business as the CEO of a corporation, why would I want to call myself the CEO over there? Right? So I would just, you know, I feel it. I get it. So I was the chief empowerment officer. CEO, chief empowerment officer versus chief executive officer, right? So decide what that means for you and then own that space. So don't get stuck on the title of CEO. If you're a woman in business, if you're a woman who is working in a position, if you're a woman who is rocking and rolling in your family, Like, and if you're a woman who's doing all of the above, right, just know you have to own your role in that space. And part of owning that role is making decisions. And making decisions as a female leader, as a female thought leader, as the female CEO, as a female whatever you want to name it, right? It is a little bit different than men making those decisions. And so I really wanted to talk about that today. So let's talk about women making decisions as the lead in their business, in their job, and in their families. Now, I work with a lot of clients who are women in women entrepreneurs. And so it doesn't mean I don't work with others, but I do work with a lot of clients who are CEOs. And so this is why, you know, I kind of put this together, but I want, if you're not the CEO, I want you to listen today, because these decision-making skills, if you can take them on, no matter what industry you're in, no matter what position you're in, no matter if you're a stay-at-home mom, these will work for you. Okay? So just put your listening cap on and just hear from my heart. These are some of the best ways to make decisions. So the first thing that I'm going to say is, no matter where you are, what level you are, you have to trust your expertise. You have to trust your voice. You know your skill set. You know it better than anybody else, whether they believe you or not, whether they, you know, respect it or not, is, it doesn't matter. Okay. What matters is that you have to trust your experience and know your voice. When you don't do that and you kind of hide from it and you're showing uncertainty, that's when people start to lose respect and don't want to listen to you. So if you can stand in authority and say, look, I know my expertise, I know my voice, right? That's what's going to happen when you really make the best decisions. You have to also recognize that the value of your experience, everything that you've done up to this point, what you did way back in high school, right? What you did when you were in college, what you did when you were in trade school, what you did with your first job and every position since then, what you did when you started a business. That is all your experience, and you have different perspectives in that. And all of that experience has value. It has value, and you have to lean on your skills and your experience, your perspectives. You're the one who has to lean on that. Nobody else can do that for you. But you have to know your unique point of view on it. In order to make a response, or, you know, you don't have to agree with everybody. You can have a different point of view. The problem comes when men say that women just want to argue. It's not that, that's not the case. Check with yourself. Sometimes, do you need to be right, or do you just need to be heard? So sometimes, look, you know what? I don't need to be right. You can make whatever decision. I'm just asking if you would just take a moment and hear my perspective, please. I know working with my husband, sometimes like he's ready to make a decision. I'm like, I have a different perspective on that. Would you be interested in hearing that? When I say, would you be interested in hearing it? I don't think I've ever gotten a no. Right? But you have to know what your unique voice is, and you have to know your past experiences all matter in creating the value that you have today. Look, all my coaches out there, if you're listening and you're a coach and you're hearing my voice right now, I want you to really take a deep breath as I tell you this. You are not charging enough. And the reason why I say that is you're saying, I only have X amount of value as a coach. And I'm saying you have X amount of years experience of other things that you could be coaching people for. And if you're at the bare bottom of what coaches charge, you need to get on some calls with me and let's do some coaching so that you can raise your prices. Okay. I'm just saying it because you have so much more value than you give yourself credit for. And I've seen it so many times. I have had to work with coach after coach after coach on creating value for themselves. I have it in the Hive Society, this whole process on how do you create your value so that you understand what you really should be charging for your coaching sessions. So if that's an issue from you, reach out to me today so we can change that right away. Okay, let's get back to the topic of decision making. Look, when we're coming to making decisions, we have to also build a network of people. I know a lot of times people are like, oh, I just make my decisions. But you know what? When you have trusted advisors and you have mentors, you have peers, somebody outside your industry, somebody inside your industry that you can talk to and bounce some ideas off of and get a different perspective before you make the decision, oh, that can be huge. I'll pick up the phone and call one of my friends in my mastermind. I'll pick up the phone and call one of my friends who I've just built relationships with throughout the years and say, hey, you know, I'm thinking about this. What is your perspective on it? Right? Get a couple of other different perspectives. If I have time to make a decision that, you know, I can talk to other people, my trusted advisors, my mentors, my peers, all of those things, then I want to take that time and utilize it beneficially for the decisions that I'm about to make. Now, there's some decisions you just have to make quickly, right? It's a now decision. Those are usually urgent. They're urgent because of two things for sure. One, there's a safety issue involved. Okay, we got to do this right now because there's a safety issue. Number two, there's a deadline and you're at the deadline. Okay. You have procrastinated, you have pushed it back, and then all of a sudden there's a deadline. Or you have an opportunity, but only if you make the decision now, right? There's a sense of urgency behind it because there's a deadline. And then the third reason for making very fast decisions would be to get it out of the way. Like, you have so many decisions that you have to make it in a day that if you can get one out of the way because you can make a quick decision and move on, that would be the third reason for making fast decisions. But you want to just make sure that you're making the right decisions based on what is necessary and what is needed. And if you have time, get with your peers, get with some mentors, or get with your mastermind and talk to them and say, hey, I have this. What is your perspective on it? I was thinking about doing this. You know, what do you think? Right? Get some support, because sometimes we just need somebody to give us some support. Another thing to look at when you're making decisions is you have to stand by your choices. You have to have the confidence. You have to have the evidence to make that decision right. So make sure that you're paying attention to, you know, I have to make this decision. What's the evidence that I need in order to make this decision? I don't know about you, but people who are kind of like me, who are very analytical sometimes, and we can get stuck in indecision because we don't have enough facts, right? I need more information. I need input. I need data, whatever that is. Go get your data and give yourself a timeline to make that decision. Because what happens if we just kind of go, keep going, we're never going to make a decision. And then we get stuck in that urgent because we're at a deadline and we can't change the deadline. And we just make a decision kind of willy-nilly, right? I'm saying give yourself enough permission to say, okay, this is all the research I'm going to do. I'm going to make a decision now. And I'll talk about at the end how that can get shifted around. But just know, make a decision. Don't get stuck in procrastination. Don't get stuck in thinking, oh, I can't ever make this decision. It's called that perfectionist mindset, right? Get out of it. We're never going to have all of the details. Okay. Never, ever, ever. There is not enough research for those analytical people like myself to ever have enough information to make the decision. What you have to do as the CEO is bypass the part of you that says, I need every little detail. You need the details necessary to make the decision, and then know that if you get more details later, you can do something different. Make your decisions transparent. When you make your decisions transparent and you say, hey, I'm making this decision. This is the reason why I'm making this decision. I created some criteria. Share that. Be communicative of that. Let everybody know what that would be. You can even go like, look, if I make this decision, here's the outcome I expect. If I make this decision, here's the outcome I expect with this decision. So with that information, I'm going to have to trust myself, trust my experience, and I'm going to choose this decision. Right? Be transparent. Sometimes people, you know, especially men, they want to know, well, how'd you make that decision? Oh, it was an emotional decision. quite often, women in male dominant spaces, what happens is men think we're making decisions based on emotions. Are we? Yes, sometimes. All the time? No, we're not. But we get kind of caught in that emotional, she's making an emotional decision, because men aren't willing to stop and take a look at our perspective. And it's not really emotional. It's just that as women, we look at nurture, we look at that space of what could happen, what could be the outcome, who's all involved in it. We look at the stakeholders, and then we look beyond that. Men are like, this is the decision I want to make based on this information and these stakeholders. But they're not often looking too far beyond that. That's just not how men process things. Women, we process it a little bit differently, right? We were made different for a reason. Okay. We partner together for a reason. So don't be afraid to say that, you know, here's the reason why I chose to do this. Some men will go, I don't care about your reason. And you go, no problem, then go do that, right? Then I just give it back directly to them, because I don't need to sit there and argue with them. I don't need to sit there and get emotional. Look, if they hurt my feelings, great. I suck it up until I go back to my office. Close the door and just go, oh, those men. Look, I love men. I raised 3 young men. Like, I have no problem with men. But the reality is that sometimes some women are making decisions to kind of push men out of the way. And some men are making decisions to push women out of the way. I make decisions based on what's best for what is needed to move forward. So if you can get that mindset going, what is the best decision I need to make in order for us to move forward from this point? Then you are much more not, it's not about emotion, it's about what's next. So pay attention to that a little bit. I do want to talk about the demands of leadership around this. Is when you're in high pressure impact somewhere around you, you really have to pay attention to not getting burnt out on all the decisions you have to make. I know lady entrepreneurs are out there just doing it for themselves. We've heard the song. We know it. Okay, can I just say stop it? Stop trying to do it all for yourself. You can make the decision to have somebody else help you out. Like I said, you can reach out to peers. You can reach out to masterminds, mentors, people like that. You can come over and join the Hive Society. Whatever that is to make the decisions, because, you know, there's a lot of routine decisions. You know, I tell people all the time, you're making thousands of decisions a day. Okay. And do you know that you're making, like, I don't know, 500 decisions a day around food and, you know, what to eat, what to drink, when to eat, when to drink, right? Do I want it hot? Do I want it cold? Do I want it spicy? Do I want it non-spicy? Do I want it savory? Do I want it sweet? Like, all these decisions, you're doing them every day automatically. You know, your subconscious is making decisions for you automatically all the time. But when it comes to business decisions, important decisions, don't let the autopilot do it. Pay attention, right? Don't get so caught up in the high pressure stuff or the isolation that is going to lead you to burnout in making decisions. What I'm telling you is, be conscious of your decisions so that you're making the right decisions and you don't have to go fix those decisions. Does that make sense for everybody? Because I don't want you to fix decisions. But I do want you to also pay attention to your health. See, a lot of times what happens, people, you get the fuzzy mind, right? You're getting caught up in making all these decisions and you're getting tired and you can't understand why. And a lot of times all it is that you're not drinking enough water. Do you know your brain needs water, a lot of water every single day? I know they tell you drink 8 ounces of water, you know, 8 times a day so that, you know, your body gets the right fluid, but your brain's part of that body. And if you're not drinking enough water and you're dehydrated, you go into brain fog. You quickly go into brain fatigue. Okay. Decision fatigue is a real thing. And you can absolutely go into decision fatigue when you're not drinking enough water. Okay. So you have to make sure that you're taking care of yourself. You have to make sure that you're making the best decisions, the best time of day. Right? I know for me personally, the best time of day for me to make the biggest impactful decisions is first thing in the morning. By about 3 p.m., my brain's like, okay, we're ready for a nap, girl. Okay, the brain's going to say, I just need you to do something that is all on autopilot because I can't make another daggum decision. So you have to make sure that you're taking care of, you're getting the right rest that you need, that you're drinking enough water, that your routine and automated, less critical choices that you have to make are done on autopilot, so that when you're ready to make those important decisions, that you can do them, right? Conserve your energy for those and the time of day that is most important for you. My husband, on the other hand, like from 4 p.m., he's ready to make decisions. He's fast paced at that time. So when I'm shutting down, he's turning on. Sometimes we'll butt heads on them like, whoa, I can't even answer that question right now. Hold on. My brain's been working all day. Let her have a break for a minute. Let me come back to that. Okay. So, know that sometimes people are like that. Find out if you have to make decisions with somebody all the time, find out their best time of day and your best time of day and see if they can overlap a little bit, right? That is huge if you pay attention to it. If you have a boss who's like, boom, 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 first thing in the morning, and you're like, oh my gosh, I just haven't even had my coffee yet, right? I don't drink coffee, so I don't really know that thing, but I don't do caffeine. But I will say this is that that's because your boss is ready to make those decisions first thing in the morning. That's their key time. And if it's not yours, you just say, okay, give me all of this stuff. Can I give you this back, give you the information back this afternoon? See if you can work that out with your boss. A lot of times they're not mad at you or anything like that because of those things. All they want to do is just make sure that these things are happening, right? Just want to make sure that the decisions get made. Sometimes you get a bossy boss who wants that information now. And you're going to have to make the best decision you possibly can. But, do the best that you can. But make sure that you're drinking, plenty of water, that you're getting enough rest, that you're taking care of yourself so that you can make those decisions. So what happens, let me just say, like you made a decision. I said I would come back to this. So let's talk about it. You made a decision. You thought it was the best decision with the best information that you had at that time. And then new things showed up. Guess what? You get to make a new decision. Look, we have been told for decades that women just change their mind. So use it. It's your free pass. I love having the free pass that I can change my mind and it's normalized, right? Men don't get that. We get that free pass. And yeah, it's looked at as kind of a negative thing, but just turn it around as a positive. That's my free pass. When somebody says, well, you already made a decision. I'm like, yeah, but it's a woman's prerogative. We get to change our minds. So I'm changing my mind. You can play with it, or you can just decide that, yeah, you're right. I did make a decision based on the information that I had. Now I have new information, so I'm making a new decision. Are you with me now? Okay, great. Let's get going. Right? That's the best way to handle that kind of response. Move forward in business. Look, yeah, I have new information. I'm making a new decision, right? Determine what's changed. What's different than the previous decision that you made? What's the new development? Is it urgent? Is it something that can wait on this decision? Or do you have to get more information to solve it? Figure that out. But the biggest thing is be flexible, be adaptable, be willing to listen to another side. Sometimes there's business negotiations that happen in decision-making. You make a decision and like, wait, hold up. Have you ever had that happen? I know I've had it happen many times, right? Like I'll make a decision and then my husband, who is my business partner, will come in and then he tells somebody something different. And they're like, well, wait a second. Kimberly said this, who should I listen to? And he'll go, depending on the situation, depending on the criteria or what it is, he goes, yeah, Kimberly and I spoke and I'm making a new decision on behalf of both of us. He only does that when it's true. So they can trust that. The second thing is he's like, oh, I didn't know Kimberly told you something. Let me go check with her and I'll let you know which one to go with. See how simple that is? We don't have to make it hard. We don't have to make it a fight. And sometimes what's happened is, I'll be honest, look, I have 70 employees. I'll tell one employee something, he'll tell another employee something, and we kind of come together and like, whoa, wait a second, two different stories. Oh, they're not even on the same page. No, we just weren't in the same room. That's all. We come about it from different directions, right? He comes in the front door, I come in the back door. He comes in the window, I come down the chimney, whatever, right? We're going to come at it from different perspectives. So why not have that conversation with your business partners, with your boss, with the person that you're negotiating with? You have to negotiate and keep communication open. So be flexible, be adaptable, be willing to go, oh, I don't know, let's check on that. Right? He's not afraid to pick up the phone. He's not afraid to come in my office and say, hey, you told so-and-so this. I'm like, yep. Because what I want him really to do this. I'm like, okay, have him do that. Like, I'm not attached to it most of the time. Right? Sometimes I'll say, nope, here's the reason why I need it to go this way. And he'll go, oh, that makes sense. Right? But you have to be willing to communicate. It's not about, look, I'm the boss, do what I told you to do. That's, if you're a really good CEO, you're not saying that, right? You're going, okay, tell me why this isn't going to work. Help me understand. Why do we want to change it? What information am I missing? Right? I want to say that having that agility, having that willingness to shift and need and pivot, all of that ability to do that, it's a strength. It is not a weakness. And when someone says you're changing your mind, or, you know, you're not flexible or whatever, it's like, check in with yourself, but understand that when you can embrace agility and pivot, you know, all these words that are being used based on the change of circumstances, that is a huge strength because you've listened to your team. You're listening to people. Communicate and be honest and be transparent, like I already said, around your decisions, and people will trust you and they will follow you in that process. So make the decisions. And if you have to modify or reverse a decision, explain the reason to your team, right? Explain the reason to your board and your stakeholders. Transparency builds the trust. And when you can do that, it reflects hugely on you. Speaking of reflection, let's say you made a decision and it was bad. I don't know about you, but I have made some bad decisions throughout my life, unintentionally, not harmfully, right? Just made decisions that just didn't work out. What do? You reflect on it. My mentor, Sandra, says it's plan, do, review. I planned it this way. I did this. And I reviewed what worked and what didn't work is how I say it, right? So you look at every decision, if there needs to be a review on it, if you need to reflect on it, is what worked, what didn't work, what are you going to do next? Now that's me talking to you. I've been doing that for over 25 years, right? What worked, what didn't work, what next? And use your experience, use your learning, this as a learning opportunity for yourself, and go, I might want to do something different next time. You know, I might actually want to ask one of my peers instead of just trying to make the decision for myself. You made a mistake. Okay, great. Learn from it and move on. Do not hold on to that mistake as if it's like this prick to your heart. That's not what it's about. You're going to make mistakes in business. You're going to make bad decisions sometimes. You're going to make decisions where you didn't have enough information. You did the best that you possibly could. And now you have to make a new decision. Great. Then do it. Because that's what's most important, right? And I just really want to say is there is a big difference between making a decision and taking an action. Right? I often say, look, there's three turtles sitting on a log. One decides to jump off. How many turtles are left on that log? And I wait. And then I get answers from my audience. And I get all kinds of answers. But let me tell you, just because you make a decision doesn't mean anything happens until you take action on it. So anytime that you make a decision, it's just a decision. Until you take action on it, until you do something about it. Or as I like to say, until you choose, make a decision, and move. So choose and move. Make a decision, take an action. Make a decision, take an action. Decisions by themselves, unless you or somebody else takes an action, it's just a decision. If you really want to pay attention to how many of those decisions were taken action on, that's a bigger thing. Like, for example, let's just be real for a second, okay? You've made the decision to, oh, I don't know, pick up the phone and call those 10,000 people that could, you know, buy your product or services, but it's that, you know, the 100-pound phone, right? You're just like, oh, I can't make that call today, right? You made the decision to make those calls. You made the decision to do follow-up. You made the decision to lose weight. You made the decision to eat healthier. You made the decision to be the CEO. You made the decision to hire somebody for you. You made the decision to get employees or to not have employees, right? But until you take action on those decisions, they're irrelevant. Are you seeing what I'm saying? It's irrelevant until you take an action on it. So no matter how many decisions you make, you can get into decision fatigue just by making a whole bunch of decisions without ever taking action on it. So don't do that. Look at those routines that you have that you take action on and find some new routines that create the space for you to make a decision, take an action, or choose and move, right? So if you don't take action on them, three turtles are still going to sit on the log until they take an action. So make sure you take an action from this day forward. That would be my biggest challenge for you, is from this day forward that you make the best possible decisions that you can with the information that you have right now. You make the decision and then you move forward from there. Now, let me talk to you real quick about decision fatigue. Okay. I have to tell you this, decision fatigue is a real thing. When you're making a whole bunch of decisions each and every day, your brain is like, it can get tired out. Okay, can we just be real? Especially if in order to make that decision, you have to do the research to find out if you should make that decision. And all of that is happening in the same day or something like that. But we're making so many decisions every single day that people don't realize that it does take a toll on our brain. And at certain points, we get into decision fatigue. So I'll get home and my husband will say, what do you want for dinner? You know, where are we going to go for dinner? And I'm like, I don't care. He's like, no, pick a place. No, I just don't care. No, I can't make another decision, babe. You know my criteria for eating. So you make the decision and you pick a place. And sometimes your spouse might be saying it to you. And you say, babe, do you just need me to make the decision for you? If you're not in decision fatigue, then please make the decision for them. Don't get into an argument. Don't get mad about it. Just understand they've probably made a lot of decisions throughout the day and they don't even realize they're in decision fatigue. So let me tell you about this restaurant. So I was in Dallas last weekend and we went to this restaurant, and the restaurant, it was really interesting. We didn't know this. My husband picked the restaurant. We were looking for a little steakhouse and he decided, okay, I found the place. It's called, if I remember correctly, it was called Medium Rare. Okay. You go to the restaurant and you sit down and they give you the menu, but there's only one thing on the menu, one dinner choice on the menu, right? It is steak and frites, basically. It's steak with fries on it, with a sauce on it. And you get to decide whether you want medium rare, medium well. You get to decide that. You get to decide if you want the sauce on it or no sauce on it. There's not even any ketchup for the French fries. That's not even an option there, right? So when you're in decision fatigue, this is the best restaurant to go to. I told my husband, this is the best restaurant for no decisions. You can decide what you want to drink. They have a full menu for the bar, right? And I think dessert, there was like four or five choices for desserts that you could choose from. But as for the meal, there was one decision. So it was delivered to you first. You got this big thing of bread. And I said, do you happen to have any gluten-free? They said, no, that's not an option. I was like, okay, no bread for me. But my husband and my daughter, they had the bread. So the bread and butter shows up. And then a little bit later, they bring you a salad. No choices around this salad. You just eat what they give you. And then they bring you the steak and the fries. And then a little while later, when you kind of wrapped up what you're eating, they come back around with some more steak and fries and will give you a refill if you want. Look, if you're in decision fatigue, find a restaurant like this. Because I just thought it was the funniest thing. Now, I really was looking forward to something else, but I was like, we were tired. It was the end of the day. We'd been in a conference all day long. And it was like, okay, we're just going to go with this, right? I took mine without sauce because that sauce looked a little thick, probably had some flour in it. So it was all, you know, it all worked out. We had a nice meal. We didn't have to think hard. And you know what? Sometimes you can have meals that are ready in your refrigerator. You can have pre-prepped meals. You can have a restaurant that you know is kind of like your standby where you don't have to worry about too many decisions. If you plan that ahead and you're in decision fatigue, then, you know, that's a bonus for you. But I just thought it was pretty funny. I told my husband, this is the best decision fatigue restaurant I've ever seen. But it was great. But think about for yourself. As I wrap this up today on decisions, is you have to make the best decision for you based on the criteria that's necessary for you to move forward in your business. There's all kinds of different kinds of, well, that was redundant. Look, there's all kinds of different decisions. You can have hip shot decisions and fast decisions and slow decisions and decisions that you need other people to help you with and decisions you can do on your own and decisions that need more information and decisions that need less information and decisions for him and decisions for her and decisions for the kids and decisions. It goes on and on and on and on and on. We don't stop making decisions until we pass away. Okay. Not always the decisions we want, but we still are making decisions every single day to get up, to brush our teeth, to take a shower, to put makeup on, to not put makeup on, to drive this car, to drive that car, to, you know, take a bus to school, mom will take you to school, whatever. All these decisions are happening all the time. Have you ever gone through a red light or gone through a traffic light? And after you passed it, you go like, was that green? Because your subconscious was making those decisions for you. Like I said, your subconscious is making so many decisions for you every single day. But you have to pay attention as a business owner, as a CEO of your company, as a woman in a male-dominant space, you have to make the best decisions and the right decisions based on what is necessary to move forward. So make sure that you're hydrated enough, make sure you get enough rest so that you can make the best decisions each and every day. And if you find that you're in decision fatigue, take a deep breath. Make sure you take a drink of water, you know, get yourself hydrated, and then just stop and breathe for 5 minutes. You know, the box breathing, right? In, hold for four, out, hold for four, right? You just take deep breaths. And sometimes you can tell people, I can't make this decision today. Can you check with me tomorrow at this time? Do what is necessary for you to make the best decisions for you and your life and your family and your business, because you are the CEO of your life. I hope this is helpful for you. Thank you for joining me today here with Superheroes in Heels. Again, I'm Kimberly Borgens. I'm your host, and I'm fiercely empower women to step into making bold decisions, own their role in business, and make the best decisions for themselves and their business. Feel free to reach out, make a comment, ask me some questions. I'd be more than happy to do a Q&A podcast down the line that is answering your specific questions. And subscribe to our channel here with Superheroes in Heels, and ask yourself today, what kind of heels am I going to wear? Are they flat heels? Right? No matter what, your heel has to step into them. So it doesn't matter what the height they are. Or are you going to put on some tall shoes, kick it to the curb, and let's go, right? So depending on where you are and what your mood is, put on your superhero heels and go and do what is necessary for you to grow and build a successful business, successful life, and successful community. Thank you for joining me today. I'm Kimberly Borges. Have a great day.
Thanks for tuning in to Superheroes in Heels with Kimberly Borgens. If you're walking away feeling a little braver, a little bolder, and a whole lot more powerful, mission accomplished. Be sure to subscribe to the show and leave a review. It helps us to reach more women who are ready to unleash their power and lead with confidence. And if you do leave a review, you might just hear your name in an upcoming episode. If today's conversation lit a fire in you, share it with your network and join us inside the Hive Society at KimberlyBorgens.com, where powerful women gather to break barriers and rise together. Until next time, keep showing up, standing strong, and heels or not, keep embracing your inner superhero.